In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning and welcome to worship here at Grace Lutheran Church in Boulder. Welcome to those of you who are here all the time. Welcome to those of you who are here some of the time. Welcome to those of you who are joining us for the first couple of times. It's good that we can be together in this digital space to worship our God. One thing that I might invite you to do, if you haven't done so already, because we will be celebrating Holy Communion later this morning, I want to invite you to make sure that you have bread and wine or grape juice on your home altar if you want to receive the sacrament later on. And you have time to go collect those things now if you want to. Our partner in the ministry here at Grace this month is Boulder Shelter for the Homeless. As I've said for a couple of weeks now, we all know that homelessness is an issue across our nation and also here in the city of Boulder. I invite you to make a contribution to Boulder Shelter for the Homeless through Grace Market Partner in Ministry. And then that, the first $2,000 that we as a congregation collect will be matched by the Grace Foundation. So your dollars go twice as far toward alleviating and addressing the issue of homelessness here in the city of Boulder. So I encourage you to make that contribution. Every other Wednesday evening prayer will be this week. A few weeks ago, we started doing this on alternate Wednesdays. And this week, we will gather again at 5:30 on Wednesday evening for a quiet and contemplative evening prayer service with music and reading of Scripture and reflection on Scripture and prayer. We meet outside, and we only have so much space for folks in the courtyard out there, so there is a Google document that we'd like to invite you to sign up using before you come to evening prayer so that we make sure that we have enough space for everybody who is going to show up. There's a link to that Google document in the back of the bulletin. And then on the Wednesdays that are not the one where we're here together in the courtyard, I've started posting a video devotion to YouTube. I posted the Wednesday devotion this past week, I think on Friday, but I'll do my best to get it on Wednesday in the future. And again, like we do on Wednesday evenings, where we take a Wednesday when we're here, we take a look at the psalm for the upcoming Sunday. That's what I think I'm going to do on the Wednesday video devotions as well. So another way for us to connect with each other through the magic of digital media and to pray together. I invite your prayers for people and communities in Colorado and in California that are affected by the wildfires. I invite your prayers for communities that are in the Gulf Coast area that are affected by the storms that are there. I invite your prayers for all people that are experiencing any kind of hardship these days, which is a lot of people. So lots of prayers are needed. Thank you for that. Two other things real quick. I understand that the Vanderborgs have recently celebrated or will soon be celebrating a milestone wedding anniversary. Congratulations, Shelby and Nick. And finally, the special music that will be shared during the offertory and the postlude today are by the Boulder Renaissance Consort. They're sharing two of John Addison's courtly masking airs. Seems appropriate during this pandemic era, doesn't it? We continue by turning to worship. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Amen. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance, and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your Spirit, lead us, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power, riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, blessing, and glory. Victory for our God. Hallelujah. God and the Lamb, forever. Amen. This is the feast of victory.
God, with all your faithful followers of every age, we praise you, the rock of our life. Be our strong foundation and form us into the body of your Son, that we may gladly minister to all the world through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from the book of Isaiah, the 51st chapter. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation, for a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
We read together the psalm responsively by verse. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name because of your steadfast love and forgiveness. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things. When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me. All the rulers of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth. They will sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord. The Lord is high, yet cares for the lowly, perceiving the haughty from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me. You will make good your purpose for me. O Lord, your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
Paul reminds us in the second reading that we are to worship in living holistic, God-pleasing lives. From Romans, the 12th chapter. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith. Ministry in ministering. The teacher in teaching. The exhorter in exhortation. The giver in generosity. The leader in diligence. The compassionate in cheerfulness. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. You are the Messiah, Son of the living God. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. People of God, grace, mercy, and peace be with you. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. "Who do you say that I am?" Jesus asks Peter and the other disciples. We hear his answer. "Who do you say that Jesus is?" Now, if y'all were sitting in the sanctuary here, I would ask that question just like I did. Who do you say that Jesus is? And then what I would do, I think, is I would let you sit quietly until it's a little uncomfortable. And then I might say, "A little louder, please. Who do you say that Jesus is?" When no one answers. Or maybe one or two of you would have answered like Peter did on behalf of the disciples. "You are the one," Peter says, "who's been set aside for an important job, the Son of the living God." Thing is, though, there's a lot more behind that question than just to name who Jesus is. What else is behind the question is that, and the answer is that Peter is confessing that Jesus is chosen and set aside by God. This is the Messiah language. Jesus is chosen and set aside by God. And to make that confession is to prioritize that identity, that Jesus is the Son of the living God, to prioritize that identity above all others. And it is to confess that there is no other who is the Son of the living God. Which is maybe easier for us to do than it was for the disciples to do, since we have the benefit of Jesus' death and resurrection as part of our story and the story of our faith. Whereas when Peter made this confession, he didn't know that Jesus was going to go die and then be resurrected a couple days later. So we might have it easier, but maybe not. Because we too have many things that distract us from prioritizing Jesus and from following Jesus the way we ought to. Fortunately, for me at least, if Peter is my example in this gospel story today of how to follow Jesus, then I'm confident I am in good company. You see, here today, Peter makes this confession, and then Jesus calls Peter the rock on which the church will be built, which is not the part that I identify with. But like five verses later, and we don't get it in the lectionary for today, but like five verses after Jesus calls Peter the rock, Jesus calls Peter Satan and tells him to get out of the way. And that's the part that I identify with. Because I know good and well that I don't follow Jesus the way I should. And maybe you don't follow Jesus the way you should either. I'm not here to judge you. I know a little tiny something about human nature. And 10-1 says you don't follow Jesus the way you ought to either. My trouble in this regard, at least one of my many troubles, my trouble in this regard is that I look around at other faithful people, like many of you, and I see all kinds of ways that you follow Jesus really beautifully. And when I do, I see all kinds of ways that I fall short when I follow Jesus. I look around at good, faithful people, and I see all kinds of ways that other people follow Jesus better than I do. I mean, don't get me wrong. I recognize and understand and believe and will admit that there are some things that I do pretty well in the following Jesus category. And then there are many things that I don't do very well at all. Thanks be to God for the words and insight that Paul shares with us a few different times in Paul's writing, but also today, for the wisdom and insight that Paul shares with us. As you heard just a little while ago, Paul writes, "For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another." And then, each one of us, Paul, compares to a part of the body. So I just started thinking, maybe you are, let's just say, an eyeball, right? Eyeballs are pretty important. And maybe when we're able to be back together in the sanctuary comfortably and worship together, maybe the person that you're going to run up to and give the biggest, warmest hug to is the ankle. It's really tough to walk without an ankle, isn't it? And maybe, what if I'm like the index finger, this pointer finger in the body of Christ? Maybe that's me. See, look, I'm pointing at myself with myself, maybe. I mean, the body can do without the index finger, but it wouldn't be quite the same, would it? It'd be hard to write, whether you're writing with a pen or you're writing with a computer. It'd be hard to write without my right index finger for writing with a pen. And if it were my left index finger that were missing, bar chords on the guitar would be impossible to play. I could get by, but it wouldn't quite be the same. See, as Paul points out, we are all members of one body, individually members, but we are of one body, and we are connected to one another in the body of Christ for the good of all. I mean, sure, the body could get by. It wouldn't be as good, but the body could get by without the finger or the ankle or the eyeball. But the finger and the ankle and the eyeball are completely no good at all without the body. So God calls us to be together. And together, we are able to confess with harmonizing voice that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Though sometimes we might feel scattered, like we are not all in the same physical space today, still, God calls us together. And God continues to bring us together for the benefit of all. Not just all of us who are in this piece of the body here at Grace Lutheran Church. But God continues to bring us all, the church around the world. God continues to bring us together for the benefit of all. Not just for us, but for the benefit of the world around us as well. And see, the body of Christ being together is good for me, an individual member of it as well. See, I have a hard time all on my own confessing that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Sure, I can do that every so often, but with the entirety of my being all the time, I fall short of the glory of God. I can only make that confession fully. I can only confess fully and completely that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, when I'm together with all of you. I do my work as a part of the body of Christ much better when I am together with all of you. And you do your work much better as a member of the body of Christ when you are together with all of us. Thanks be to God that today, even though it's digital, thanks be to God that through the magic of digital technology, we are still able to be together. And together we can confess that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And as we confess that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, we share that good news with the world around us. And we share the world with the world that the love of God, which we first have experienced ourselves, we share the love of God with the world around us all together. And as we do, the kingdom of heaven truly does come near. In the name of Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, our Savior. Amen.
One body in this world.
Church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Confident in your care, O God, and helped by the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Lord, our rock, you are our foundation in Jesus Christ, your Son, whom we confess as the living God. Prepare and equip your church for its mission in bearing witness to Christ, both here at home and throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You call forth praises from the far reaches of the universe to the smallest of creatures. Join our song to theirs, that a spirit of praise and thanksgiving will arouse us to cherish this wondrous home you have given us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hear our prayer. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord. Direct the leaders of countries, legislators and magistrates, mayors and councils, to walk in your ways. Help leaders regard those in need with mercy and compassion. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve us, deliver us, and fulfill your purpose for us. According to your steadfast love, of healing and wholeness to those who are bereaved, in trouble or adversity, or sick and in need of care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You call us into community with one another. Help us remember that we, though many, are one in Christ. May we recognize in ourselves and in one another the unique gifts you have given us for the building up of the church for the sake of the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You are the everlasting rock from which we were hewn, and you restore your people to joy and gladness. In blessed memory and hope, we thank you for the lives of our beloved dead. Bring us with them to our heavenly home. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
In the certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer these prayers to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share a sign of peace with one another, physically, if you're with people, and digitally, whether you're with people or not, do that too. Peace be with you.
God of goodness and growth, all creation is yours, and your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. Water and word, wine and bread, one bread, one cup. These are signs of your abundant grace, uniting us as one in you. Nourish us through these gifts, that we might proclaim your steadfast love in our communities and in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our strength and our song.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
To you indeed be glory, Almighty God, for in the night when he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And then again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and this cup, we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and our celebration, that we may be fed with the body and blood of your Son and be filled with your life and goodness. To you, O God, be all honor and glory today and always. Amen. Lord, remember us in your mercy and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, glory,
and glory,
forever. Amen. People of God, this table is God's table and Christ is the host here. And so everyone is invited to this feast. And this table extends to the tables that are in your homes. So those of you who are by yourselves, I invite you to hold on just a minute. Those of you who are with other people in your home, I invite you to ignore me for a little while right now and share the body and blood with each other. When you pass somebody else the bread, say, "The body of Christ given for you." And when you pass them the cup, say, "The blood of Christ shed for you." Now you can ignore me. Those of you who are by yourselves in your homes or wherever you are, I invite you to take the bread now and hear these words spoken to you. The body of Christ given for you. And then I invite you to take the cup and hear these words spoken to you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Remember those of you who don't have wine or grape juice or don't have bread, but you only have one or the other. Remember that Luther reminds us that Christ is fully present in only the single element. Just bread or just cup is enough. Further, those of you who choose not to receive the sacrament or who don't have bread or wine or grape juice, please recognize and remember that God's grace and mercy and love and forgiveness are made available to us in ways other than Holy Communion. Those are all around the world for us. The body of Christ given for you. Blood of Christ shed for you.
Thanks be to God.
body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you.
Body of Christ.
Amen.
Blood of Christ shed.
Thanks be to God. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen.
God of the welcome table, in this meal we have feasted on your goodness and have been united by your presence among us. Empower us to go forth sustained by these gifts so that we may share your unifying love with all. Through Jesus Christ, the giver of abundant life.
Amen. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and Holy Spirit the Comforter, bless us and keep us in eternal love. Amen.
Christ is with you. Thanks be to God.